Well, as you know, I'm from Derby. I'm a Derby County fan. I quite like Manchester United. And because I'm from that area, you get to know that there's a lot of Manchester United fans in Derby, a lot of Liverpool fans as well, and others who live in Derby. And it's kind of a bit of a running joke that a lot of Manchester United fans don't live in Manchester. Well, we found one in Detroit. Good afternoon.
How are you doing, Dave? Good afternoon. Great to chat with you today.
Great to have you on, Gary. And, well, before we get onto the book and some of the things in there about being a supporter for Manchester United, all those thousands of miles away, we must touch on, you picked a good day to come on and talk about Man United, have you not?
We could not have timed it better, could we? talk about the yin and the yang of a team right now. I was at Old Trafford on Saturday. And then suddenly I see that performance last night that was just absolutely devoid of any ideas, wasn't it? It was the tempo, it was lacking, the players didn't perform. Obviously, Jose will get a lot of criticism, but it was almost like two different teams from weekend to last night.
That's an interesting point you make, because I was listening to somebody this morning saying that did he have his eye more on the Liverpool match than he did on the Champions League match? Because the team that he put out on Saturday, with Mata, of course, and a few changes there, it seemed a bit of a different team and a bit, you know, actually, not just playing differently, but there were actually different players on the pitch as well. So that's really odd.
Yes, very much so. And, you know, you could flip that on its head as well and say, you know, they came off that pitch on Saturday with, you know, terrific tempo, great energy and a terrific victory, which, let's face it, even as a United fan, I wasn't sure which way Saturday was going to go.
Yeah.
You know, Liverpool, that front three, if they get energised, they're flying. And I just thought to myself, even change of Fellaini, who's just coming back from injury, you know, into that midfield, it was lethargic, it was slow, the build-up was slow. And I think the players had to take a little accountability as themselves as well. A chance to go into the quarterfinals of the European Champions League, and they just didn't seem up for it.
And really
all credit to Sevilla. You know, over the two legs, they deserved it.
Absolutely, yeah. I got to admit, I didn't get a chance to see the match last night. When I went to look at the score online, I was mostly expecting it to be, you know, 2-0 Man United or something, you know, but it just took me by surprise. Let's move on to the book. You were born in England, on the northwest coast of England, is that right?
Yes, I was, Dave, in the Lancashire area. And basically, the book, obviously called Life, Liberty and the Pursuit of United. Yeah. Basically, it's almost in two parts. I felt I had to earn the right to write a story about fandom of Manchester United, and it's by far more than a fanboy book.
Yeah.
I basically start up about how I fell in love with the game of football and my background and through those years, and I became United, if you like, around the 1975, around April 5th, 1975, that Lou Macari goal at the Dell that sent the Tommy Dock team flying back to Division 1, and Tommy Docherty side was so exciting, so entertaining, and that's where I really latched on to United. And the second part of the book, Dave, is it takes us through that first part through to 1995, and I'm about to leave for the States, actually the day after Ludic McClosco played that terrific match for West Ham and deprived United of the victory they needed to retain the Premier League, and Blackburn Rovers won, if we remember.
Yeah.
And I get to the States, and I just realise that it's so difficult to not only follow United, but football in general, and I just tell the story of my quest to remain connected with the game and my team once I land on American soil, leading through to the 99 treble season. So
I've spent a bit of time in the States myself, and I know what it's like. And obviously, you've got the time difference where we don't have that here. I moved to Spain, and as you probably know, football's close to a religion as it's ever been in any country as it is in Spain. You never feel too far away from it, and with an hour difference as well, you can watch live matches and so on. Did you find yourself drifting away from football, and you had to consciously kind of stay, you know, it's something that you have to really work at to stay a Manchester United fan there?
That's a great question. Initially, you're arriving in this country called America, and you're just blown away with the excitement. Yeah. And of course, you realize you don't have access to the game. So, you know, Detroit is a real working class city. Yeah. So the Red Wings were flying at the time, and you know, I'd watched that for a little. But of course, my quest was always there to stick with United, and so you tried anything you could, Dave. And initially, it was 2 or 3 week-old newspapers, transatlantic phone calls to my father holding the phone up at the television post-match of the day for any reports and snippets, and then a shortwave radio with the BBC, which fades in and out.
Yeah.
And then after about 3 or 4 months, I suddenly get handed this newspaper cutting by the guy who hired me, and it tells of what I call in the book the Britannia Club, which is rather like a working men's club just north of Detroit, and it was literally the only place in Michigan that showed these games, and it was this little darkened den you traveled to on a Saturday morning. People
wow.
traveled out of state to get there. It was an amazing environment in there, and the people and the characters that I met in there really propelled me to start putting pen to paper.
Yeah.
And of course, the journey that United went on over the next few years, I could have the thread of their success with this as well. And so that's really how it all started, trying to get that connection from you know, with the game from so far away, you know?
Well, I mean, it's called the Britannia Club there, and obviously there must have been a lot of expats around. That are football fans. You know, we're always being told, aren't we, you know, David Beckham going to LA and all the and footballers going to America with Steven Gerrard for a while. And we're all told, you know, that these great players are going to take soccer to the Americans, and it never quite works, does it?
It doesn't. And what's interesting is, you know, nowadays you can watch the English Premier League. We can watch every single game on a weekend.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the success of this second generation in the States of soccer fans have latched on to the European game, also La Liga. You know, there's a channel there that shows all La Liga games. So it's almost like, you know, the MLS league itself is suffering because of that. And there's such an abundance of EPL, La Liga, Champions yeah. League. There's almost hardly any room for the MLS. So it's a great point you make.
But surely that should filter down a little bit towards, you know, maybe a few more kids playing around with football. Or is that starting to kind of seep through now into...
Absolutely, because if we take that back to the time I write about, which in the States is from 95 yeah. through to 99, there was no kids wearing, you know, the Real Madrid shirts, the United shirts, and I was sat in the stadium in 2000, I think it was 2014, when United played Real Madrid, and there's 112,000 people watching the game. That would never have happened back in the day when I was there. It was very much underground, so it can do nothing but help. It's just trying to find room for that consumption. I think, you know, you make the point about the time difference. The games in the States for us, it's almost like a Saturday morning. It's perfect air time for the States because yeah. it's not getting in the way of any of their major sports, you know. So it's just whether you've watched so many games of soccer with the EPL, and then suddenly the MLS comes on in the afternoon. There's only so many hours in a day, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting, isn't it? I went to see Barcelona. I got a free ticket to see Barcelona play Malaga on Saturday.
And,
you know, and you get to see the, you know, it's just fun. It's football for me is something I've always enjoyed from my teenage years, really. Not being able to go and see Derby live is something that's an issue. For you, how long was it till you got back to Old Trafford and were able to go and see Manchester United, you know, in the stadium live watching them play?
Well, in all truth and honesty, I've been away almost 24, 25 years, and my parents had all moved to the southern borders of Scotland. So I'd come home and visit them.
Yeah.
I was in that stadium on Saturday versus Liverpool for the first time in 23 years.
Wow, what was it like going in there?
It was absolutely electric. There's all this talk about the atmosphere in Old Trafford, and very much so after last night, and that came across on the TV. But what I witnessed on Saturday, obviously I was, you know, full of excitement. It was the release day of my book, but
yeah.
just outside that stadium, I didn't know what to expect. I walked in the Stretford end was propelling all the energy. It was, and I was very close to it in the north stand.
Yeah.
And the last game I went to, Dave, was a 1993 FA Cup third
wow.
round match, I believe it was, when they played Bury, I think, at home. So the changes, I used to go into the United Road paddock. It was just, I mean, the intensity on Saturday, of course it was Liverpool, but I really felt such a vibe and an energy that was really all around that ground. It was a fantastic atmosphere. But again, last night was a totally different story. So,
well, what's your take on Mourinho? I mean, I've interviewed people who actually know him personally and written books about him, and there's far more to him than you see on the TV. And I think he's a completely different person, actually, to kind of what he portrays himself. But the style of football, I suppose, I mean, I kind of started to watch Manchester United, obviously, under the Alex Ferguson days, and that free-flowing football that we love with Scholesy and all that. How are Man United fans feeling? And even today, hearing Mourinho say, well, you know what, I've sat here and seen United go out in and out of Champions Leagues, and that's the way this club works. Mm-hmm. I thought that was quite insulting, actually, to Manchester United fans.
No, I agree with you. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't a fan of Jose. I didn't really want him. But at the same time, we can't argue with the fact that, regardless of what happened last night, United are looking for progression after those Fergie years, and here they sit, second in the Premier League. You know, in terms of who they've beaten recently and some of the results, they could have gone either way. He's turning that around. I almost feel, Dave, that he's almost making a statement to the club. You know, and I in terms of what he wants for personnel.
Yeah.
I mean, I could really see this summer there being a bit more of a clear out and him trying to get the play. He's almost saying, look, this is what I've got to work with, this is where it's at right now. Because again, on Saturday, I didn't know which way that game was going to go, and they really did play well, particularly that first half. You know, but it is his demeanor, it is who he is, and as you rightly said, and you've obviously had a lot more insight than I have to that from the interviews you've done, I'm sure there is much, much more to him, and you can't argue with his record. So, yeah, if you'd pin me against a wall, it wasn't who I wanted, come in there, but I get behind him, and we are progressing. I really do feel that. So.
I think, obviously, this team this year is a couple of steps further than it was a year ago, so which is great. Any Manchester City fans coming out of the woodwork in America?
Yes, I mean, it's almost like anything, isn't it?
You can't get away from them, can you?
You can't get away from them, mate. And, you know, it's such a global game now, and the business models for these teams are so outreaching globally. You know, and the International Champions Cup, of course, really helps, which that Real Madrid United game was a part of. And, you know, the City fans, the new generation, have just latched onto, rather like, you know, the New York Yankees or, you know, in different countries. People latch onto success, don't they? And City, of course, are flying at the moment. So it is quite surreal for me, going back to the beginnings of the book, though, when I land in the States, seeing people walking around with these shirts now, seeing these shirts on sale in these stores over there, because, again, there was nothing back in the day. So, yeah, they're certainly there.
Do you begrudgingly admire City at the moment, the way they play? Because they're certainly having a great season, aren't they?
Yeah, credit where credit's due. I'm, you know, I am first and foremost a mad, passionate Man United fan, but I'm a football fan, and I'll try and be fair and balanced in my opinions, and you can't argue with how they're playing at the moment, and at the end of the day, that's why they're in the position they're in.
I would say the same about Nottingham Forest if they were playing as well as Man City, but they're not. Right. And I also, because this year I just started to get into the NFL for the first time. I've never been into American football, and I decided I was going to support the LA Rams as a link to my my team in Derby. Have you embraced anything American as far as sport's concerned?
Initially, I did. Yeah, I went to a couple of the Lions games, some of the Thanksgiving Day games. They were great atmospheres. Like I say, took in the Red Wings. Went to several Pistons. Pistons were flying at the time, but it was almost like a slow turning boat. You know, as the EPL became more accessible, and I mentioned in the book, once we found the Britannia club, I actually, Dave, at one point, a dream of mine was to be a DJ, and I'd never been in a radio station in my life.
Right.
Cut a long story short, I did an internship, and I ended up getting a show one Saturday morning, or on a Saturday morning throughout a year, which I call The British Invasion, based around the 60s and 70s music, and I use that as a portal to try and preach a little bit about some football gospel and Manchester United. And the reason I brought that up is I used to go to a local bar in the city of Ann Arbor where the station was run after the matches, just to decompress a little bit. And I met a gentleman one morning, and he'd just sold his building, which was originally a men's outfitters. And it was an Irish-American entrepreneur who bought it and was turning it into an Irish pub. And this was around 97, 98.
Yeah.
So again, I planted the seed, and several of the characters who come with me from this Britannia Club and others, that was one of the first soccer pubs in the area, and all this vibe that grew up with the early morning soccer fans from all over the world. And that became our base to ride to the treble. So I did embrace those American games and American sports initially, but once the EPL was available and the community that came with it, all bets were off. That was where my sporting fix was, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're never going to change, and I think you'll always be Manchester United through and through, wherever you are in the world, and it's the way it is with me as well with Derby, so you can't get it even when they really annoy you. And now, the book's called, let me get this right, Life, Liberty and the Pursuit of United, and it's by Gary B. France. It's available if you want to go onto our website, which is tre.radio, and you can click on the bookshop banner there, and you can order the book that way as well. Gary, thanks for coming on, and wishing you all the very best, and there's always next year for the Champions League. That's all I'm going to say.
Dave, it's been a pleasure, and listen, good luck to your Rams. You're in the playoff spots, and who knows?
At the moment, yeah. All right, cheers, Gary. You have a great day, and we'll know that we'll touch base at some point in the future. You take care, my friend.
Great to chat with you, Dave. You take care now.
Bye-bye.